Hello again, Pastor Deborah here, and this is another class course of the King's International Spiritual Care University. We are learning how to help people the Lord's way. This was a journey that I, Pastor Deborah, went on from being a licensed, nationally, clinically certified mental health counselor and helping people from that concept, that training, that education, that knowledge. And yet I was always driven by a heart of wanting to help people. So this was my journey, the things I had to learn, had to study, had to have knowledge of, had to experience, have spiritually revealed to me what these different topics meant. And I've just conveniently for you put them in a university and given you a mission statement about it, told you how to register, and there is no charge for the classes. When I took them, I didn't register except with my heart. And I had lots of subject matters to study. Took me years. Now, while I'm doing my studying, I'm experiencing some personal, very intimate, close-up experiences. And I'm having to walk through the Word and apply it in many instances. I was sort of on the job training, didn't know exactly what it was all going to be about. I knew my heart wanted to help the most severely spiritually abused, the most spiritually deep locked in captivity and slavery in a matrix of control. Excuse me. And I knew that. And I was shown by revelation and by feeling the Father's heart for humanity who these people were. I had never run into them. If I did, I didn't know it. So I was on a deep discovery trip, revelations, and this one, basic ancient parents. I spent years in the first book of the Hebrew Bible, Genesis. I had to learn where it all began. And just in that book, there is a lot of basic that we'll get to. But this one is about ancient parents. Now, what does that mean? Well, we have a sort of demonstration, a revelation of that in human form, in animal form, in the plant kingdom. In order to be a parent, you must have children. Now, sometimes they can be your own, we'll call it biological child, that came from an egg and a sperm combining together and doing all of its things in the darkness, in the womb. And slowly over time, a baby, an infant, a child, was created. And it grew and grew in the womb, waiting to come out. Same thing in the animal kingdom. We have males and females, and they connect. A lot of it's not pretty to us. It's usually not face to face, like it is with humans. And yet, the same thing has to occur. There has to be an egg from a female. There has to be a sperm from a male. And the two must come together as one. Then a lot of times, it is the mother who, inside of her womb, is where the growth takes place, the development. And the male is pretty much finished for some time. Then when the baby comes out, in some in the animal kingdom, it is equal parenting. The mother sits there, And the male goes and gets food and brings it back and feeds. And sometimes the male sits. And it's different for every species. We also see this concept of male and female conception and birth in the plant kingdom. We'll have some plants that are both male and female, and it needs a bee or some other insect to come along and pollinate it, and to mix those two up in order for the plant to bloom in all of its glory. There are seeds involved, there's growth, there's time, and there's usually two sets of elements, a father and a mother. So in this case, in learning how to help spiritual people, the third part of our system, our spirit, the forever person, I had to learn where was this original spiritual parents from. Who were they? How did this conception occur? Where did this spirit being called the forever person grow and develop? Now, as we all know, at birth, the child comes out of the womb, out into an atmosphere, an environment, a place it knows nothing about, because it's only been in the womb, in darkness, sloshing around, sometimes in water, salt water. Excuse me, sinuses tremendously. And it has to come out and learn to breathe differently. So, years ago, I studied a man named Miles Monroe from the Bahamas Faith Ministries. And he was excellent. He had gone from being a religious person and member to being a Kingdom of Heaven person and citizen. His books were excellent. His YouTube videos, his teaching changed my life completely. So what he taught was he stayed back. He looked back to help us in the Old Testament. He stayed a lot in Genesis. And his favorite verse was Genesis 1:26. In that we hear that some creator, some God, who we had just learned in verses 1 through 25, had been speaking, birthing this planet, the solar system, this natural world, out of himself. And the power to do all that, infuse it, do everything with it, was the power of this Holy Spirit. And so he was creating land, new territory, a whole new creation that would be called the seen world. And this was going to be the place where he was going to birth his child. And what happened was, we learned how this earth was created in the first 25 verses, slowly, deliberately, through time. And we look at all the different things that happened. Then our scientists came along and they told us more about our development through the billions and billions of years, the different events that occurred, the different animals and species that were on the planet and have now disappeared. We're not quite sure when this humanoid, this person of a dirt body, showed up. We got some ideas, but we're not quite sure exactly how he got here or what he got here. So into studying this, I had to read about the creation theories. I had to study intelligent design. I had to study about what the evolutionists believed, how Earth and its creatures, and then even a human, developed. So I had two philosophies, and I had to study both of them. I would read books. I would watch videos on YouTube, documentaries. I would listen very carefully. And I'd go back to the Bible. And I stayed in Genesis for years. In fact, one time, God made me, like in verse 26, I had to look up every single word in the dictionary, even the word to, or and, or but. God was telling me and showing me, study deeply. I didn't go to commentaries. I went to the dictionary. I listened to Miles, who was talking not from a religious or a denominational viewpoint or concepts, but a kingdom concept. The reason I think he was chosen, because when he was a small child and a teenager, the Bahamas was a colony, which is real important in understanding this, of England. He knew about a queen, she's still alive, Queen Elizabeth, and how the culture of the Bahamas was forced to change by a governor sent by the homeland, by the queen, to train, bring the culture of the homeland of England, get everybody talking a certain way, so that the Bahamas, in culture, in law, in language, in food, in clothes, in activities, would look just like England. They studied English history, not Bahamas or African history. They learned to speak the English language, not the Bahamian language. They learned everything about England, the Queen, the history, because they were to be loyal subjects of that kingdom. Now, a colony, Miles was telling us, they weren't really citizens. They were sort of second class compared to the original people who were born in that. So from his personal life story, which most of us have not had, he was able to connect for me and himself and many others the concept of kingdom, king, governor, colony, and relate his early life to how it relates in the Bible. So, Genesis 1:26 basically says that some God that we had just read about through 25 chapters, who was a creating God, who said, so he's a talking God, let us. Now, I usually go very slow when I'm reading. First, I want to know I got one creator, but now in the English language, I got a us. That didn't make any sense to me. And then the verse goes on, let us make man, that's the spiritual creation, in our image and after our likeness. Oh dear, what have I got before me in that those few words? First, I found out that this creator, this God, was a us. He was more than just one. He was many. Sounded like he was, you would have thought he had multiple personalities, but he didn't. He had many different characteristics, natures, and essence. He had a multifaceted personality, components of himself. So he must have had a meeting with himself. And he said, okay, everybody in here, we want to be parents. I want children. Oh, I've got all the seen, the unseen world, the realm of the spirit. I've created a kingdom. I've got that under control. I'm a lawgiver, a lawmaker. I'm a judge. but I'm missing a component of myself. I want to have children that are made after, like us, in our image and our likeness. Now, Miles did some great teaching on this, what likeness meant, what image meant, which I'm going to go into deeper later. But this is about parenting. So this God had decided, I must conceive within myself from the different components of me. And he shows us in nature now. There's no excuse for you not understanding spiritual things by looking at nature. There must be a male side of this God and a female side of this God who are going to have to come together intimately as one. And the male was to pass his sperm, his seed, into the womb of a female. And then the female would gestate it, develop it for some time. So God had to create himself, which he probably already was, both a male and a female. He had these components, these thoughts, but so that, I found out, was the us. Also, there was one more character in this. His spirit, his Holy Spirit, the power that would be needed to do this. Now, because this God had great thoughts, and he didn't speak too often, but when he did, he would decree, he would declare, he would make a law, because as a king, whatever you say publicly and announce is law. So he says, let us make man. That's the child to come. It's not a male sex. It's the name of the spiritual creature that he was to create. He said, let us, that's this father and mother side of him, create, let us make, in our image and after our likeness. So I had to study those words. I had to look them up in the dictionary. Miles helped me a lot to understand what those two words meant. Because if you don't understand, as we are even learning in when you do the DNA test to learn your where your genes are from, who your ancestors from, you get a better understanding of yourself. So I had to learn what the word after our image meant. So now, before I could even figure out who I was, what I was to do on this planet, what the purposes were for me, I had to learn about him. He had an image. What did that mean? Back to the dictionary I had to go. He had a likeness. Well, what did that mean? Back to the dictionary I went. And I learned through Miles and his teaching, the after my image meant I am a God, number one. So I'm going to make children who are also gods. Now, we learn that later on in the Bible, when God said, the people that I give my oracles to, my word, they are gods. But people had, and some of our ancient ancestors got it. They had declared that the kings were gods on earth. They were right. Doesn't seem possible. But that's what that word in our image. First, he was a God. He was a creator. So when we see all of these things that humanity creates, whether it's the wheel, the trains, the airplanes, whatever it is, We are doing what a God does. We are creating. Also, this Creator created things by words. He spoke. He had thoughts. He would do it by decrees, by laws. So he was a creator. What else was he? He also, in his image, was a king. What did that mean? He was a ruler. Miles teaches much about the characteristics of a king. Because if you cannot understand that, then you cannot understand the Bible from the Father's viewpoint, who is a king. And you cannot understand earth and heaven and treason and sin because you're not looking with the eyes through a kingdom's mindset. You're looking through religion or denomination, but not through the eyes of a king. So I learned he was a king. He's a ruler. He had all authority in his territory. He set the laws. He set the rules. And everybody was to worship him for creating them, recognize his authority and dominion, follow the laws of the kingdom. And he also is a wonderful God, king, that told you what the punishment would be. You have to know the law, and you have to know the punishment. So this guy, in his image, he was a king. Well, I didn't know anything about kings because I grew up in democracy, and I grew up in America. So I had to study. I watched a lot of documentaries on the kings of England because they made a lot of them, Queen Elizabeth I, all the different kings, and Henry VIII, and how countries and nations and territory were run and ruled by a king or a queen. Then I went from that, studied the Holy Roman Empire, where the Pope had declared himself sort of king, ruler of all of pretty much Europe, some of Africa, as a king and a ruler and a master. Because at that time, the regular Roman Empire, with all of its emperors, which means king, had fallen. And so the Pope picked up that mantle, and he actually wore the Pope's gown and then would put on armor to show he was both a spiritual leader and a warrior. So I had to study that. I had to study ancient civilization like Egypt. The word pharaoh actually meant king. The word emperor or empress meant king, ruler, master. Born to that. Had the DNA, the bloodlines, the right genealogy. I had to study all of that. Now most of it in the world has been perverted. But we still have kings and kingdoms. We still have rulership in that form. And most of all of Europe and Russia was all kingdoms and kings. Now, those people were kind of bad because they didn't have the right heart and mindset, but they were ruling from that form of government. So here I am studying ancient parents. And I'm discovering that my father, spiritually, was a king. And he was a god. And he was a creator, an architect. And he ruled and reigned his territory by law, by order. And he had to punish certain individuals. They were the one-third that decided to do a mutiny. And they knew what would happen if they did, but they were led by ancient cherubim named Lucifer, son of the morning. And he had gotten a prideful heart, became blind in his beauty and glory, looked at himself and said, it's all about me. I deserve to be at the top and not be subjected to this creator. Well, that didn't last very long. And he got like that, slashed down to earth, which had already been created. So ancient parents is our very beginning. But you won't learn who you are, what kind of being you are, where you come from, who your ancestors are, who they were, what did they do, until you study. So I'm studying this God's image. I'm looking up his characteristics, his abilities. I'm reading scriptures about what he does. I'm watching him in battle in the Old Testament. I'm watching him tell me stories through the Israelites. I'm watching ancient Egypt. You don't know how much I study ancient Egypt. Listening to how they believe the world was created. Watching gods and goddesses being developed to sort of explain creation. I'm studying. Because I couldn't understand what the Bible was trying to tell me. So the Holy Spirit, who's my teacher, always sends me into history, into ancient civilizations, into a dictionary, looking up the meanings of the words, also then writing out the scripture in an amplified form and putting all these words in it. Like for the words, let us means more than one. Don't know how many, but it means more than one. Image means character, nature. What else would it mean? Qualities, essence. So I studied the word, just the word image, for a long, long time. I'm learning about my father and his image that he said and declared in Genesis 1:26 that he was going to make this species that's inside this dirt, this forever person, in the image of. So to help me understand me, I needed that information. Then the next part of Genesis 1:26 says, and let us make them after our likeness. So I go, what does that mean? Off to more scriptures, because eventually what God tells this young child who was born called Adam, that if he eats and dies off of this tree, and he follows somebody else, he will leave his father and mother. Now, at first in creation of this spiritual being, man, the forever person, the helpmate that came along out of the rib, only's name was helpmate, womb man. W-O stands for womb, W-O-M-B, and man, which means it would be the spiritual being, man, that would carry the womb to bring forth children. This helpmate, this female component, did not get its name of Eve till after the disobedience, the fall, and being kicked out of the garden. And the word Eve actually meant the mother of all living. And at that time, the only thing alive in man was the flesh, the carnal, earthly nature. The spirit man was now dead to God through disobedience and was not considered alive unto God. It was alive, but it didn't have the spirit of life in it. And in God's eyes, it was dead. Separated, disconnected, no communication, as if it was in a grave, which it was. It sunk deep into the body of dirt, was buried in it, in a coffin, a tomb, in a foreskin of flesh. So even when earthly people die, we put them in a coffin, we put them in the grave, they're covered with dirt. It is a symbolization of what happened to the spiritual man when he died, when the Holy Spirit left. So now back to ancient parents. This God wanted to be a parent. He wanted to have children. So he had to have two parts of himself come forth. Because as we know, you could be a male on planet Earth, create things, go to school, do things, and you can be very creative, and you can have no wife, no children, and be very productive. And that's how he was for a long time. He was by himself. So what we learn from Genesis 1:26 and there, when God took a rib, something out of the man spiritually, brought forth this dirt, it was curved, that's what rib means, curvature. He created out of that rib a womb man. Now, he had to create a body that was just like the body of the man, except it had to have a womb. Then he breathed in the spirit of life, which was the man, and now we have two. So it's sort of a way of understanding himself. He had to go from being just a creator to bringing thoughts, concepts, ideas within himself out and become two. Now, he had to, within himself, he's the type of God that he just doesn't come down here and hope this all works out. He's thought about this for a long time. He's actually prepared a prototype, which we call the firstborn, the son. So within himself, while he's out there probably all by himself, he knows at the right time he's going to bring forth the female part of him out of his thoughts and ideas, create her as his likeness. And then himself as God, the image, and this likeness, this female, would come back together and conceive and create a child. Now we learn later on that this first child that was inside of him was called Christ, called the Word. And it would play around in front of him, was with him from the beginning, was always there. That was the firstborn. That was the image he was going to use to create us. The male part of him and the female part come together. Now these two were becoming parents. Now there was a lot to parenting he had never done, or she had never done. They had to train up, we learn in other scriptures, that they had to learn how to train up the child, teach it, discipline it. They had to communicate with it, be in a relationship as a parent. It's like in the earthly body, when a baby is first born, it doesn't know what a male and a female is, doesn't know what the world is or work or school. He just knows there's some eyes and a voice he's heard, usually the mother, for 9 months. Heard her heartbeat, her stomach gurgling. And she has something on her breast, where she is to get, or it is to feed and receive milk. The father does not have that. Now the baby hears a deeper voice, a different facial, doesn't know it's a male. So for a long time, this baby is in the arms of mother. She is the one responsible for the nurturing, the caring, the feeding, the disciplining. Dad just goes off and goes to work, brings home the money. But mothers are capable of feeding their children without having anything else but themselves from their breast. And that milk produces antibodies and wonderful things that the baby needs to grow and develop. All animals do it. They nurse their young. You know, some are born with their eyes closed, completely helpless. But how they communicate is they talk to each other. So in this God, he wanted to become a parent. He wanted a family. He wanted to grow them up, train them up as children. He wanted to protect them, help them to learn. He wanted that part to happen. With his first creation, when he created the kingdom and all the angels, they were not his children. They were born with, created with all the laws already inside of them, all the wisdom, all the known punishment. There was no training them. They just worshiped him, did what he told them to do, and that's what they did. So this missing component of being a parent was missing from this God. So he set about within himself for who knows how long, doing all this work. And then at the first he goes, well, I want them to be my children, kings, gods, rulers, but they can't rule up here in heaven because I'm already on the throne. And I had set the rules that the only way one of them could take my place was if I died. But I don't die. So this was not going to be a place where he wanted his kids to live. He was going to have to create a new territory for them. For some reason, he decided to create a new territory of spirit and this new stuff called the natural world. That we call it, Miles calls it the seen world, because he says there's an unseen world, the spirit realm, and this seen world. So God created this wonderful system now. He said, I'm going to take my child, my spiritual child called man. I'm going to breathe him and put him inside a body of dirt from this new land, this new territory. They're going to be a combination. Now, I want that spirit being inside to rule not only the spiritual world and be my government, my kingdom down here on earth within himself and with all of nature and the earth and all of other of the children to come. And then that from that position of the unseen spiritual realm, my children, he said, would rule the natural realm. They would be caretakers and managers and keepers, husbandmen, and they would produce crops and care for the animals. And they would care for the oceans and the air. And they wouldn't let anything get out of line. And they would manage this territory, this new land I'm going to create, for them as I manage, rule over, and control heaven. So they would be just like me. They would have a place where they could go and rule and be gods. And how would they be a god, he thought? You speak, you create. And so we learn later how important your words would become, and they can be infused with power to create either blessings or curses. So words we learn because that is how he creates. He speaks. And when a spiritual person speaks, it's law. It has good things attached with it or bad things attached with it. So I'm learning about me by learning about him. I'm looking up the words in the dictionary. I'm reading books. I'm studying him. I'm learning about him. Found out he's a talking God. Therefore, my spirit must talk. I learn about my spirit's attributes and character and nature by studying him. So he comes along and we get created. And things went along okay for a while, and then something bad happened. So back to Genesis 1:26. This likeness that we were also created in. And we learn in just a few scriptures later, he declares to us we're going to leave his father, that's the image, and his mother. And I go, well, who is Adam's mother? There's only one God around. What is this? And I had to go look up the word mother. And the word mother means the bond of the family, the tie that holds everything together, the hitch, the yoke. So what I learned, who the first Adam's mother and my mother was something called agape love. It is the love that is the mother of us. Because we learn later on in other scriptures that there's only one law, love God and love your neighbor. And love was the rule of the kingdom. You did everything for love of king and kingdom. Your thoughts were all to be of love. So when he told this creature, Adam, you will leave your mother, it means you're going to leave the whole connection, the ideas, the thoughts of loving. Now, Adam did not know what that means, but we see that now people don't even love animals. They don't love children. They abuse them. They don't love nature. So we left that image and that likeness, that mother. And we fell and we got changed. And I'm going to talk about that in another video about how when the fall happened, the DNA that was in the first man, Adam, was all changed. And it became another DNA, another image and likeness of another father called Satan, which means the adversary of God. So we've had two images and two likenesses. Then we'll teach later on that to help humanity and get it back, this God had to rebirth out of the tomb of the flesh, like we see, out of the dirt and the darkness, a new child. So humanity has gone through three different births, had different parents, different images and likenesses. And I'll get further into that about the likeness. The likeness is agape love. And we learn later on that if you do not love people and love God, then you are still considered in the tomb, in death, in the dirt. And you've not gotten reborn yet. Because you're not loving. You're not reconnected. And you'll learn on other ones. But once I discovered that, I became a carrier, a mother spiritually, of agape love. And I would comfort and nurse through my words, my voice, through my spirit, these little spiritual beings, once they were born by believing in this God, I became their spiritual mother to help them to grow and learn, feel anchored, because love, you'll learn, is the anchor of the soul and the spirit. It brings a foundation. And then when they get a little older, they can start looking at this Father and learning about Him and trusting Him. So this ancient parents video in the basic classes is just sort of an introduction. I'm going to do some more on it because we have to talk about the satanic image and likeness as our parent, then the rebirth of this spiritual being and back into its original image and likeness. So there's a lot to understand before you can really help people, because you have to know who are their parents, what image and likeness you are working with, how is the soul, which realm has created the soul, what are you listening to, spirit versus soul, because you have to be able to locate the spirit being inside those words. And whether you're just talking to the soul that is still ruling and reigning the spirit from the kingdom of darkness and its life it has lived, and the kingdom has not yet gotten forth into the spirit a lot. So a lot of times in religion, you will see religion and even a lot of faith and books substitute itself for the kingdom. So there's a lot to learn yet, but I wanted to just start this one, beginning to talk about ancient parents. The next one, we'll keep using this because we have a lot. Parents are very vital. They're the source of a child or a creation. A lot of times you can be the father of an organization. You can be the father of a building, the father of a car that was made. Because father means source. It means the breathing out. The mother is a different thing. We learn, God says, I'll help you, because it's hard to understand this spiritual stuff. He says, but I've created the natural world. If you will look around it and observe nature, I will reveal myself to you, and you won't be ignorant of yourself, myself, and the world around you. We can learn about spiritual attacks by looking at the world of viruses, bacteria, nature. It's all there, animals. So he's helping us if we'll look, and we'll go slow, and we'll look up the word. So your assignment is to go to Genesis 1:26. Write it out. Look up every single word. Go to the dictionary. Watch some stuff on Miles Monroe on the kingdom, the characteristics of a king. You cannot learn who you are and what you're to do till you learn what the image you were made after originally and the likeness. And in the rest of that Genesis, we'll get into the purpose, because you need that image and that likeness to do your purpose. And then we'll learn about the fall from that image and likeness, and how a new person came, and our DNA, all our sperms and eggs inside of Adam were genetically altered by this new father called Satan, and sin and death and everything got perverted. So that's another set of parents and teachings. And then we go to the new parenting again, back when we're reborn, So those are a lot of things. We'll probably stay there for a while. Why do we need to do that? How are you going to help people if you don't know all of this? You won't know what you're talking to. You won't know what image they're created in. You won't even know about yourself. You won't know why you have power and authority. You won't know what you're supposed to do down here. You don't know how the government's supposed to work or how you fit into it. You won't know anything. So this one is Basic Ancient Parents, the beginning. And I'll pick up with the continuation of this on the next one. So enjoy and beginning to learn about the image and the likeness of our parents and how that's important to us, to learn about who we are, what we're to do down here, and how we are to grow and develop and become. This is Pastor Deborah, and this has been another class of the King's International Spiritual Care University. Enjoy. Come back again and keep learning.